Welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show weekly podcast presented by Allen Music Shop. Co-hosts Tim Batts and 20-time Bluegrass Guitar Player of the Year Josh Williams will talk about the latest bluegrass news, interview folks in the industry, and give you lighthearted stories and music tips along the way. Now, here's Tim and Josh.
Hey, everybody. I'm Tim Batts, and welcome to the Hometown Bluegrass Show. Sitting here with my good buddy Joshua Williams.
Hello. Yes.
Are you still full from Thanksgiving?
I'm okay. I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good. Did you get plenty to eat? Y'all have a good Thanksgiving?
We did. We did. Mm-hmm. I had my kids all week, with the exception of Gus, who came on Wednesday, but Weldon and Whitley spent the whole week. You know, of course, Weldon was on the podcast with us last week, mm-hmm. and it was big, just great time.
Yeah, you know? Lots of family time.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of much-needed family time.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of the whole purpose of coming off the road, wasn't it? I mean, you know.
Yes, it was 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's awesome, man. Well, we had a great time, too. We just, it wasn't too crazy, just one day of filling our bellies and hanging out with the family. And, of course, you know, I'm old enough to have grandkids, unlike you, so that makes it even more fun. So
yeah,
the grandkids.
I hope it's a long way away for me because my kids are still young.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
Although Weldon has a birthday coming up in 12 days.
14.
He'll be 14.
14. Yeah. Wow.
14 on the 14th.
Well, if you missed last week's episode, that was cool. Had Weldon on for the second time. And you guys sang a song together, so mm-hmm. That was pretty neat. And he seemed to enjoy himself, so we'll take it.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Well, this is our 44th episode of the Hometown Bluegrass Show, and as we record this, it's right after Thanksgiving, November 2024. No, it's December 2024 now.
Yeah.
It was November.
December 2.
Yeah, December 2, so this will come out here in a few days, and the holidays is upon us, so it's that time of year. So
that's right, ready or not.
That's right, we're gonna take it and go. So so you didn't play music recently in the last week or so then?
Oh, I did. I managed to go play the Opry a couple of times.
Oh, last week?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, on Tuesday of last week, ran down there and played with Rhonda, and then she called me in the evening on Thursday, wanting to know if I could play the next day, evening. And I said, yeah, I'll be there.
Which was the day after Thanksgiving?
Yes, Friday. Gotcha. So I actually took Whitley with me. She's never been. Weldon's been a couple of times, you know, hanging out backstage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Gus, I know, goes with his mom or mm-hmm. has gone with his mom a few times. So mm-hmm. Whitley had never been. So we had a big time. It was a lot of fun.
That's cool. Well, your kids get a special treat, get to hang around, all kind of cool stuff, so that's pretty awesome. You could take me one of these times, you know, I could be like your kid.
Yeah.
Leave your comments to yourself.
I don't even know
your
how
old
to
man
answer
comments.
That.
Well, good deal, man. Well, that's cool. You got to play again there.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was fun.
Good deal. Well, we got a great show coming at you. We've got an awesome request coming up. Josh gonna play a great song a little bit later from his Modern Day Man album. Great.
Yep.
Request come in by Mr. Wheeler, sent in on our Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook page. And then we're real excited about our guests coming up later. Ernie Evans from Evans Media Source is going to be our guest tonight, and we're real excited. If you don't know Ernie, you've probably been to one of his events over the years if you like to go to bluegrass festivals and concerts. And that's his main thing, is promoting bluegrass music, and does a lot of festivals and concerts across the country, and a huge proponent and staple in the bluegrass community. So we wanted to have him on and try to help promote the music that he loves to promote. So
yes, absolutely.
What little we can do. So anyway.
Absolutely great guy.
Yeah. I have never had the privilege to meet Ernie in person, but been to several of his festivals over the years, and he puts on a great show, that's for sure.
It'll happen.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. So we had a great great time in Prestonsburg, Kentucky. We're going to, when this comes out, it'll be on Friday. We're going to try our hand again, raising some money for the Hurricane Helene victims. Got Southern Legacy is going to play again in Western Kentucky, and yep. It's their final show of the year, Miss Teresa tells me. So she's we've got a great group of all-star pickers going to come and play for them. May not be all the regulars, but it's going to be most of them, and are going to try to raise some money for the Haywood County United Way. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's sad to me that people, you know, they talk about it when it happens and it's all over the news, you know, but then after a week or so, it stops and you just stop thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, those people are still in the same shape that they were in, you know, a week before. And
yeah.
And my heart goes out to them. And yeah. So we're just trying to do all we can do.
Yeah. Well, just like Tim Surratt said from stage at the MAC the other night, he said, you know, you can't sit around and wait on the government to hand out money to these people because, first of all, even if it happens, it's not going to happen very quickly. So that's why it's so important for friends and family and us in the bluegrass community to kick in and help where we can. I mean, it's the Christian thing to do, and so we can do things like this and give them money right now, and that's where they need it. I mean, it's still people living in tents by the river and campers and stuff, and it's about to get really cold in the mountains, and so anything we can do to help now, that's what we want to do.
Yeah.
So. We were fortunate and blessed to raise $11,000 in Eastern Kentucky at the MAC, and we're hoping for good results in Western Kentucky this weekend at the Kentucky Opera. We're going to try to raise as much money as we can. So appreciate y'all coming and playing and singing. And we got Colton Baker has got a band he's put together. Colton's a bass player for Russell Moore and Third Time Out, and he's a local boy, lives right here in Ballard County where I live, and going to do some singing. I think he's got a guest star mandolin player from what I understand. So
yeah.
Do you still remember how to play the mandolin?
No.
Okay. I can show you a couple two-finger chords, might help you. So
okay.
I'll do what I can. So
and show me how to work that capo.
Maybe anyway, yeah, I knew that was coming. So. Oh man.
So
I don't
even
know why I like you. Oh man. Well, that sounds great. We'll get Josh to tune up that guitar, and we got some great sponsors to help this episode. Speaking of which, we got Page Capos is an amazing sponsor. I give away a free Page Capo in each episode. However, we never got a winner from last week's trivia question. Yeah, we asked the question.
Have you checked it again today before we went?
I haven't gotten a notification about it, but I will. I'll double check, but I don't think we have.
Oh man!
Yeah, it's.
I didn't mean to stump everybody.
Well, you flat stumped everybody. I mean, nobody's been able to get it. So, I'll double check again to make sure. But everybody's just commenting. You know, good song, good stuff. Enjoy the podcast. But yeah, nobody got Mike Anglin's very first professional band gig.
Wow.
What band was it? So, anyway, we'll have to come up with a. With another question that maybe might be just a hair easier this week. So,
no, man, they're not supposed to be easy.
I know, but, you know, we got to have a winner, so we want as many Page Capos on the necks of guitars as we can. So.
Well, do we need to let everybody know what the answer was?
Yeah, why don't we do that? That way we can go ahead and clear that question out.
Well, the podcast trivia question was this. It's what was the first professional band Mike Anglin was in? And the answer to that is John Cosby and the Bluegrass Drifters.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was just double-checking to see. And somebody commented today but said, my guess is the Bluegrass Cardinals, but that wasn't right either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nobody ever got it. So, I guess nobody knew Mike when he was that young. So, but
I don't know, man.
Well, we'll let you be thinking about another great trivia question, and we'll see if we can't have a winner this week. We can't go 2 weeks in a row without a winner. So.
Boy, yeah. What's the last letter in the word bluegrass?
There you go. Call in now and you could win a brand new Bourgeois guitar, if you can tell us that.
Oh, no.
And all you have to do is guess the number to call.
That's funny.
Oh, man. All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We're going to let Josh pick us a tune and learn us something on the guitar, and then we're going to talk to Ernie Evans. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. Allen Music, located in historic downtown Paducah, Kentucky, is your source for fine guitars and all types of acoustic instruments. At Allen Music, we are experienced and enthusiastic players of everything we offer. Allen Music is family-owned and has been serving musicians since 1976. So stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Allen Music, 215 Kentucky Avenue, downtown Paducah, or check them out online at allenmusicshop.com.
Custom Automotive in Calvert City, Kentucky has been a family-operated business for over 50 years. When you call Custom Automotive, you'll talk to an experienced tire and wheel expert. They install wheels and tires on thousands of vehicles every year in addition to their online sales. Stop by and thank them for supporting bluegrass music. Custom Automotive, Highway 62, Calvert City, Kentucky, 270-395-7611. Or visit them online at customautoonline.com.
The Lake House Inn at Sled Creek has undergone complete renovation in 2023. Our outdoor space is unlike any other at Kentucky Lake. With two in-ground pools, 18 rooms, and four cabins, we're just a stone's throw away from Kentucky Dam. If you're looking to make memories with your family, this nostalgic inn is for you. Welcome to your lake house, where modern meets rustic and becomes home. Reserve online at lakehouseinn.com.
Howdy, friends. I'm Banjo Ben Clark, and you're listening to my good buddies, Tim Batts and Josh Williams, on the Hometown Bluegrass Show. You've tuned in because you like valuable conversation about the world's best music. And if you want more good stuff like that, come on over to my website, banjobenclark.com, where you can learn how to play and purchase anything you might need when it comes to bluegrass-related instruments and accessories. My Gold Pick members over there can access hundreds of lessons for banjo, guitar, and mandolin with all kinds of resources to help you move on down the road with your picking skills. And if you're looking to purchase something, the deals can't be beat at Banjo Ben's General Store. All there on the same website, banjobenclark.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. And if you haven't ever been to banjobenclark.com's website, then if you're a musician and you love playing music, then you'll want to go check it out, because if you click on store, then it'll take you to all kind of cool things, from amazing instruments to accessories and apparel and gifts and all kind of musical stuff that's really tailored towards the bluegrass musician, and not just banjos either, lots of other stuff. So guitars, and you can even do online lessons from Banjo Ben Clark. They've got a variety of different instructors that do that. So Josh said he was thinking about signing up for some lessons on there himself.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but if you'll use the Hometown 10 is the promo code, that'll save you 10% off anything in the Banjo Ben Clark store. So please go support Banjo Ben, because he supports the Hometown Bluegrass Show. Well, we had a request from Wheeler Johnson.
Old Wheel
from Florida, probably bass fishing right now as we speak. I can't believe he ain't invited us down there for some big old largemouth bass fishing, but
I guarantee it's an open invitation.
Well, we'd love to do it, and I'll blow your horn just a little bit. He requests a song off your 2016 Modern Day Man album, which, not just because we're friends, but it's really one of my favorite bluegrass albums that there is. I just love the feel of it. It's just kind of a slight twist of old country, but bluegrass through and through. So I know that was what your intent was, and there's a lot of great songs on there. And But the fifth song on that track, on that album, is a great song that Wheeler requested, and I'll let you introduce it.
Yeah. Wheel knows this story about finding this song. I can remember. I was a huge Lonesome River Band fan, and anytime they had a record come out, I was always, you know, going to get it. And anyway, they came out with an album. Don was still in the band, and Kenny Smith, and it was Ronnie Bowman, and then Sammy, of course. And they did an album called Finding the Way. And great album. But anyway, this song was on there, and it was written by Ronnie and Jerry Douglas. Jerry was the one that produced that album, I believe. So, but it was crazy because I knew this song really well, but later in life, you know, I was going through a lot of stuff and battling with the addiction and whatnot, you know, and I had this song, for whatever reason, just pop into my head, and I could not get it out. Like, this was just one evening, but it was so strong in my mind that I, you know, I couldn't just be like, I'll just, you know, forget it or whatever.
You couldn't just let it go.
No, I couldn't just let it. Nice. Nice.
Nice.
So anyway, I thought, man, I would love to find that CD, but, you know, there's probably no telling where that CD would be. And I walked into my music room at the house at the time, and I had a stack of CDs there in one of the corners, and I literally picked up the first CD, and underneath it was that album, the Finding the Way album. So once I went into treatment, I started playing this song, and it took on a whole new meaning for me. Hmm. And got to play this at some guys' commencements whenever they would leave treatment center. And so anyway, that it's one of those songs where it just, you know, we want God's help on certain things, but we want to help too. Like, mm-hmm. you know, God, I want to give you this, but I'm not going to give you all of it. And it doesn't work that way, yeah. you know. So
hey, let me ask you something. We've never talked about this, I don't think. You were in treatment 8 weeks?
I was in treatment for, it was 30 days.
Oh, okay.
So just, you know, a month.
But. Gotcha. Well, I was just curious, like, did they allow you to have a guitar?
Yes.
Oh, they did. Okay. Well, I just felt like that would, that's bound to have helped a lot, mm-hmm. you know, being able to at least play during that time and
yes.
help your mind, I yeah. would think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's cool. I never had thought about that till just then. I didn't know. So
there for the first week or so, it was all I had as a comfort, you know?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, this song just became a huge part of my recovery. Mm-hmm. So,
absolutely. It's a good one. Why don't you play it for us?
Turn me up a little bit here.
There we go.
Yep. Anyway, it's called Let It Go. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because He was my friend. Then instead of leaving Him in peace to work alone, hung around and tried to help in the ways that were my own. Then I took them back and cried, God, why are you so slow? He said, my child, what could I do? You never let it go. Let it go. Take control, let it go, and He'll bear your heavy load. If you think that there's no hope, there's something you should know, that He can mend your broken heart, but you gotta let it go. Every child needs nothing less than unconditional love. And even though we fall sometimes, he's there to pick us up. And if you think you're the only one who's ever felt this low, it's time to get down on your knees. You gotta let it go. Let it go. God, take control. Let it go, and he'll bear your heavy load. If you think that there's no hope, there's something you should know. That he can mend your broken heart, but you gotta let it go. There's no hope, there's something you should know. That he can mend your broken heart, but you gotta let it go.
Some good stuff right there.
Man. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great song. I wished I could sing harmony pretty because, man, that harmony in the recorded version is so good, yeah. Too. Is all I can do, not to, but it's a beautiful, beautiful song. So who wrote that song?
Ronnie Bowman and Jerry Douglas.
Oh, okay.
And, the harmonies are so good because that's John Bowman singing tenor and Ronnie Bowman singing baritone. So surrounded by the Bowmans.
Well, no wonder the harmony sounds so great in that song. So, yeah, that's some good stuff. Really, really good. So.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, good job, buddy. Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ernie Evans on the phone with Evans Media Source and see what old Ernie's up to. And you don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
That's right.
For over 50 years, Puckett's Jewelry in Benton, Kentucky has been a trusted choice for fine jewelry that will last a lifetime and help you celebrate life's most precious moments. The new owners, Bart and Hannah Lewis, are excited to continue the Puckett's Jewelry legacy in Marshall County and are proud to support bluegrass music. Puckett's Jewelry on the square in Benton, Kentucky. Visit them online at puckettsjewelry.com.
Discover the hidden gems of Kentucky's Great River Road, winding through Ballard, Carlisle, Hickman, and Fulton counties along the mighty Mississippi River. From breathtaking river views to charming small towns, this scenic byway offers adventure at every turn. Explore rich history, savor local flavors, and enjoy outdoor activities like hiking, fishing, and wildlife watching. Kentucky's Great River Road, where the beauty of the Mississippi meets the heart of small town Kentucky. Come for the journey, stay for the experience. Plan your trip today at kygrro.com.
Hey, this is Josh Williams for Page Capos. The Page Capo is lightweight, durable, and quickly attaches and allows you to change frets with ease. With controlled tension capabilities, Page Capo always stays in tune. But don't just take my word for it. Page Capos is also used by folks like Vince Gill, Ron Block, Tim O'Brien, Cody Kilby, Tommy Emmanuel, and James Taylor. So don't trust just any capo. Use what the pros use. Listen to the Hometown Bluegrass Show podcast for your chance to win a Page Capo on every episode. Do what I do and trust Page Capos. Order online at pagecapo.com.
I heard Bill Monroe say one time,
I wanted to use some kind of name so people would know where I was from, so I took the name Bluegrass. There's not a prettier name in the whole world.
The Hometown Bluegrass Show.
You doing all right?
It's okay. Yeah, doing good, man. Just closing the books out for the year and getting ready for a new one that'll happen in weeks. So it's going good, though.
I hear you. But good deal. Well, I got Josh sitting here by me.
Hello, Ernie.
All right, man. Hey, Josh, how's it going, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good, man. You guys did a great job last time I seen you.
Thanks, man.
Congratulations on the benefit too, man. That was awesome for you guys to do that.
Thank you. Yeah, that was great.
Thanks for your support on that too.
Absolutely.
Man, I really wish I could have been there. I had to get ready for another festival. It's like they're hitting so fast in this season. So, but yeah. I know everything was in good hands.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. We had a great crowd and a great time and raised way more money, I think, than we expected. So we were excited about that. So,
yeah, I think the signal it sent out to the community, though, it was just incredible. And we needed something positive to happen to end the year with.
Right. Absolutely. Well, we're going to try it again this Friday night. We're going to do something similar in where we live in far western Kentucky. So we'll see what happens for Friday night at the Kentucky Opry. Southern Legacy's going to play and got some other music going. So
you guys have all the fun up there.
I know it. We do. Yeah. Well, you have all the warmth
because it's freezing. I don't know. We're freezing in Florida this weekend.
Well it's snowing here in western Kentucky right now. So.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I feel warmer already.
Well, good. I hope you do. Okay. Well, good deal, man. Well, you've been busy. You just came home from a festival. You just got done with one this weekend, didn't you? Where was that?
The Thanksgiving Bluegrass Festival down at it's a place called Florida Sand Music Ranch. It's a formerly Sertoma Youth Ranch.
Oh yeah.
In Central Florida, in Brooksville, and. It's the home of the oldest bluegrass festival in the state of Florida. We're running over 50 years, and it's a lot of work. We had some challenges this year, though, getting hit by 4 hurricanes this year, and there was quite a bit of damage in the park. Some sites were still flooded, but it was good. You know, we pulled it out. In true fashion, you get enough bluegrassers together, something good's going to happen, and it did.
Right.
It was good.
Well, so how many people does it take from your camp or whatever to pull off a festival like that?
Okay, I thought we were going to, you guys asked me how to change a light bulb, but okay. To pull off a festival, the number's around 25, you know, if you're working shifts and not working people to death, and the number's around 25. You get a good gate crew, good production crew, and if you're parking campers and that kind of thing, I mean, there's a lot of ways to do a bluegrass festival outside, and sometimes people are splitting that responsibility with a RV park and they have their own crew. But if you had to staff the entire thing and just kind of rent the whole park, it's about 25 people.
Wow. So a lot of moving parts going on that people don't realize behind the scenes.
Yeah. 25 very good, efficient people. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And
right.
Then you're making people happy. I mean, you could have 50 of the wrong people and there's chaos and problems and things aren't getting done, but we've got a pretty good crew that's hung around for a long time, and they love what they do, and so it makes us look good.
Yeah. Now, it's not the same 25 at every festival, is it?
Almost.
Oh, really?
It almost is. We at one time it was, but we just started spreading out so far, and we had several when we first started in Florida. We had several Canadian folks that were with us, and then things kind of happened with the exchange rate and Canadians coming down. You know, they weren't coming down every year anymore. So it's changed over the time, but we do try to find people in the local areas that can help us as well. It's tough for people to move around that much. And it's awful demanding on people too, to get them to come out to that many festivals. But but most of it is the same people.
Well, that's amazing, and that probably helps you a lot too. You don't have to retrain every time, and you can rely on them.
I don't even have to be there. Some of them are so good, I just have too much fun, so I don't like to mess with myself. But some of them are really good. There was a time during COVID that Debbie and I got COVID, and we had to stay in the camper and quarantine, and the festival ran until day 10 happened, then we come out of the camper and there was only a day left of the festival. But so that's how good some of those folks are. But we could always use more.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Evans Media Source has been just a staple in the bluegrass community and the music promotion business. So how long have you been doing that? Just the promoting side of things?
About 30 years. We started as a broadcasting company, and we actually started playing music first, and that's how Debbie and I met, was playing music in high school. And we've been married for 43 years now, but I toured for quite a while, and I guess that wasn't my calling, but you know, I wanted to stay involved with the industry. So about 30 years ago, as a hobby, I started doing bluegrass shows and festivals. And in about 2007, things got pretty serious with the economy, and we lost everything we had. And I mean, we lost everything we had. And I went into the bluegrass festival business full time, which is probably the worst time in history that you could, but we did it. And we never looked back. And we just kept going and figured, well, we'll let the world work out their problems, and we're going to go to a festival. That's, our kids had grown up and moved out of the house, and we decided that's what we're going to do. So me and Debbie, and we had two little wiener dogs at the time, and we just went and started doing festivals, and that's what it's been ever since.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So what was your first, where was your first festival? Where did you have it?
In Arcadia, Florida, it was called the Snowbird and Cracker Bluegrass Reunion. It was the Snowbirds would come down and meet up with all the Floridians, and that was probably the first. Actually, that wasn't really the first one, but it was the first one I think I felt confident that I knew what I was doing. I had tried other ones and failed, but didn't really care. I had a good job at the time, and I was just booking who I wanted to and having a big old backyard party almost, and you know, in a festival grounds. But that was really kind of the first one that I kind of started feeling like we were making progress and getting somewhere with it. But yeah, that was about 30 years ago was the very first one.
Yeah. Wow. So, that's awesome. So you played music then early on. Did you play any? Did you tour any with any touring bands, or was it just kind of for fun, or what?
I toured. Yeah, I toured with Vassar Clements for a while, and I'm just trying to think of some folks you might know. A lot of it was, you know, right out of high school, I was touring with some bluegrass bands. Were kind of regional, and then to make money, I got into this back in the urban cowboy days and started touring with a country band. And, because I played banjo and mandolin and some guitar. And so started doing some utility work, but I always try to return to bluegrass as much as I could. But then I got into the corporate world and started doing corporate marketing and did that for a long time and put music kind of on the back burner part time. But I've always stayed involved with it. And it's always been a big part of my life and still is, obviously. And you know, I've stayed engaged with it, but the festival business, I thought, you know, I always watch these promoters and told myself, I'm going to have some festivals. I'm going to fall back on it. That's how I'm going to retire. And it about made me homeless. So, but I did see that, you know, that was where my future was heading, and we felt we could make a difference there. And I actually felt we were needed there in the industry. So we were doing a combination of radio, and we had three radio shows and some festivals. And then we started getting into city festivals and doing a big variety of music. And so we do a fair amount of city festivals where we go into, you know, these cities and some fairs, county fairs, that kind of thing, and do production there. Mm-hmm. So that keeps us busy as well. So we have about 20 festivals we do now altogether. And so that keeps us out of trouble.
Absolutely. So how did COVID affect you guys, like everybody else?
Oh God. yeah, it was I can tell you in about 30 seconds that once I climbed the corporate ladder, I was doing well. 2007, I told you I lost everything. Mm-hmm. We got in the bluegrass music real serious, and we started climbing the bluegrass ladder of whatever that is. We were climbing it. We were making progress, opening up shows, rescuing shows that were faltering, and you know, rehabbing them and building them back. And we got a call from a gentleman by the name of Norman Adams one day and said, I'm retiring, I want to sell you my festivals. Make a long story short, we bought them. COVID happened the next month. And I never went so far in debt in my life. And we got two shows off. We took Jekyll Island and Palatka, and then bam, We were sitting on the front porch looking at each other going, what in God's name happened? And it's like, here we go again. But we'd been there before. You know, we got hit by a big recession and lost everything and clawed our way back up. So we didn't know what was going to happen, but we never took a day off. We never stopped. We flipped our books to QuickBooks. All the stuff we wanted to do in the office and the studio, we started doing because we had all that extra time on our hands. And, mm-hmm. you know, eventually it kind of worked its way back. We did the first Bluegrass Festival back from COVID, which was a kind of a prototype festival that we did up in Lincolnton, Georgia. We had 6-foot squares written all over the grounds. I mean, you know, so everybody knew where 6 foot was for social distancing. And and we went through, we got approved by Governor Kemp up in Georgia, because we didn't know if we were going to be able to even do festivals. If we were going to, we were going to have to figure out, you know, by following protocol and stuff. So we actually designed one to do that would follow protocol, that people could still go to a festival, keep the band separated from the audience and the vendors. I mean, it was a lot of work. There weren't many customers because we couldn't fit many in a venue because of the space needed. But we figured that, you know, maybe it's going to be like little mini, you know, boutique type festivals and micro fests, we were calling them. And, you know, we just didn't know, but we were going to come up with something because that's, you know, what we had put all our eggs in one basket and, you know, we had to figure it out. But eventually it came back, you know, and it was good that we were able to go back to the way we were doing it. And because that was what everybody was familiar with, and, you know, seating capacity is good again. And but we never gave up. I mean, we just kept going. We didn't have a choice. It's all we did. And but we did bounce back as good as you could, I guess. And you know, there's still, I don't think the market's completely come back. I mean, there are some festivals doing really good, some that aren't. Sadly, some that are doing really good are at the cost of other ones not doing good. Mm-hmm. You know, money doesn't go as far as it used to. There are people who used to go to a festival every weekend that now go to maybe 2 or 3 a year. And mm-hmm. you know, everybody's had to adjust. But, you know, it's a new music still that came from zero to where it's at today. And I think it's got a great future.
Yeah.
And, but it may look a little different, you know, right. as time goes on, but it's still got a good future. We're still happy we're in it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one thing that I wanted to ask you, and Josh can maybe attest to this too, I guess, how do both of y'all see, how have bluegrass festivals changed in the last 30 years? Is there something that stands out that's like, you know, just way different than it was 30 years ago, or is everything basically the same?
Yeah. We would probably, Josh, you want to answer that one first? I'm sure we probably have two different answers.
From my perspective, there's not really a huge change because, you know, I mean, we have our set times that we play on, you know, and we go up there and we play our 2 sets and stuff. Now, I have noticed a drop in sales, you know, because a lot of people aren't buying CDs or whatever anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, you might get lucky and sell a t-shirt or a ball cap, but, you know, a lot of people are doing the downloads and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, that's really from being on stage, from the performing perspective, that's, you know, I haven't seen a huge change. The amount of people, you know, sometimes, you know, you have beautiful weather. Sometimes you might have a really big crowd. And then mm-hmm. sometimes, for whatever reason, maybe there's something else in the area or whatever, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. that's really the only thing that I've ever seen. But then again, like he said, there are festivals that are out there that are pulling in, you know, 100,000 people almost. And you know, because of that, you know, they're killing the little festivals and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I don't think I've seen a drastic change. Mm-hmm. Just from my end of it, but I don't know, Ernie, what do you think from the promotion side of it?
Well, what we've seen, obviously COVID made a huge change in some of the elderly fans, and it's really kind of wiped quite a few of them out, which is really sad. But yeah, I haven't really seen a ton change there. What I have seen probably change the most is that we don't seem to have the, it seemed like there was a long time, you'd look at a flyer and just, it was loaded with legends. I mean, just, these are people just first and second generation mm-hmm. guys. And I just don't see people filling those shoes anymore. Mm-hmm. Stylistic, it has shifted a little more modern or contemporary, but we do see, you know, some new unique acts coming out. We see people embracing an electric guitar or drums a little bit more now. Like you see a group like the Malpass Brothers who've done so well out there, and they don't play bluegrass, but they're in high demand. But they do play things like the Delmore Brothers and the Leuven Brothers, the things that folks like Jim and Jesse, you know, made mm-hmm. Made real popular, and they are playing some of that material. And so it's very familiar and some of the golden era country. So people are a little more accepting, I think, of those things. One of the great things, and I'll brag on Southern Legacy a lot, and Josh has heard me actually say this before, that we are starving for something fresh. And it doesn't seem like we used to have to worry about that before, because we didn't need anything fresh. We had everything we needed. We were spoiled with bluegrass years ago, and now we're starving for something fresh. And even though they're doing some things that are familiar, and maybe like some of the old J.D. Crow, you know, just his just golden stuff that he did in this era with Ricky Skaggs and Tony Rice, and doing it justice, it's still fresh to the listener today, and they're doing it well, and people, it's bringing back memories for those that are familiar, and it's something fresh for those who aren't. You know, I think bluegrass grows at about 10-15% per year and population. So those people are coming from other genres of music. They weren't listening to bluegrass before. So we have a lot of new faces. As a promoter, we've had to reach outside of bluegrass festivals to get new listeners, where there was a time where you just went to other bluegrass festivals and passed out flyers or hired those bands that were popular mm-hmm. and they would just kind of cross-pollinate. Now we're looking to get new people and younger people too. And when I say younger, I'm talking 50 years old. And, you know, the median age when we got in this business was about 70. And we've been able to drive the median age down to about 55. Now, we still got plenty of people who are 70. We've got some very healthy 90-year-olds going to festivals and still piloting a motorhome. But we also have some younger folks. Southern Legacy, what you guys did, Josh, which has really been great for us, is we're seeing younger people coming in and pickers buying tickets, which we didn't have that before.
Yeah.
They were either either on the flyer or on somebody's guest list. Now they're buying tickets because they want to come and see you guys. So,
well, that's awesome. I want to say, Ernie, you've been from one of our first performances, just so great to us and such a good person to have on our side, and you've always got great things to say. And I just want you to know that we very much appreciate that. So thank you for everything that you have done to help our band.
Yeah, man, it's mutual. Well, it's mutual. We're all in this together, and you guys are certainly pulling your part there. And I wish there were more groups, and we hope that in the future that you guys will inspire others to do that and to. You know, to get in. I mean, you're bringing your own music too, and like your new singles. It's mm-hmm. it's fabulous. Oh my God, listen to the sound. You know, it's you're still kind of carrying that respect for the pioneers of bluegrass, but now you guys have created one sound now with Southern Legacy. That's your own thing, and so the best is yet to come. And we don't see a lot of bands doing that today. We just don't. If they even stay together long enough, mm-hmm. Yeah. they'll cut a record and they're done. And so it's gotten, you know, we don't know where it's all going to shake out. I would still like to see bluegrass festivals stay bluegrass festivals, offer a little variety, but we're having to reach outside of it. So that's changed quite a bit for yeah. us mm-hmm. anyway, on this side.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. When you're looking for artists for these festivals, I mean, do you try to purposely mm-hmm. get a variety of different, you know, like you mentioned the Malpass Brothers and some traditional bands? Do you try to get a variety, or do you just try to stick with what you like, or how do you do that?
Oh no, we're always good for throwing a wild card in there, and And so like today, I'm working on a festival right now it's going to be a brand new one that's launching, but we just announced it this week at the festival of Thanksgiving that we're doing, where we're going to have Pure Prairie League and Orleans. And those groups are great acoustic groups from the 70s, but bluegrass bands have covered their material. And we're going to put them with some bluegrass bands, and they'll close the night, obviously. And the reason we're doing that is there's so many people listening to their music right now. If you look at Spotify numbers on Orleans, it's in the millions. And that may be three songs, two or three songs, but still, there's still millions of people per month listening to their music. And they're going into theaters and paying $40 to $80 for a seat to see these guys. Hmm. Well, that's a whole day at a bluegrass festival.
Yeah.
And if I can get them there and they come out there and they see a Southern Legacy, or they walk out in that campground and they see a jam session going on, they'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
And Pure Prairie League is retiring this year or next year. It's their 50th year, and they're retiring. Obviously, you know, Vince Gill's been through that group, and mm-hmm. so many other great ones. But we're mixing those together. But you know, how I put a lineup together, there is momentum that we try to build during the day, and you know, and from Thursday on, and you know, we like to close with somebody that's really going to leave people with, you know, with great memories and looking forward to coming back, you know, tomorrow or the next time we have a festival. But you know, we don't want to give it all away in the first set, so we'll kind of build momentum as we go with energy. But we do try to cover quite a bit of variety and try to keep real strong players on each day, and not, you know, then spread them out through the course of the week. And but there is kind of a method to the madness. We're doing so many festivals at one time that we were afraid it was going to be like deja vu coming to our shows. And Debbie and I were going, God, these flyers are starting to look the same. We've got to change. So we started looking at the areas that we were hosting festivals in the region. What's that venue famous for, that area famous for, and started designing the lineups around that. And maybe a West, like if it's in a rodeo arena, that it's more Western, maybe slightly countryish type lineup. And if it was something more rustic, you know, we would go with something maybe more, throw something more jam bandy in there or something. But we would kind of just design it around the venue. So we actually use those concepts to pick the bands that we put in there. And then as the day goes on, we populate them that way. So people have a different experience. If they go to all of our shows, they'll feel like they've been to a different show every time they come in, and not wear it out. There are only so many great bluegrass bands. I mean, it's a young music. There's not 300 great bluegrass bands to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of repeats. Yeah. And you'll see people that like to come and see the same group because it's like a reunion every time they see them. So, that's kind of the world we live in. And that's our approach. There's other things too, but those are the main ways we approach them.
Yeah. Well, obviously you've got the approach that works because your festivals are so popular. I guess the biggest hurdle that you have, I'm guessing, is a lot of times is the weather. I mean, how do you adjust for that?
Well, this year, I can tell you this, we've got a plan now if we never had one. But this year with the hurricanes, we had our festival, Southern Legacy, played that one we had up in Marion. But the first week we had a country show we had Lee Greenwood, and it was a full out country show. And then the next week was bluegrass, because again, we were trying to get these groups of people together and kind of cross pollinate. But there was a Hurricane Debbie came through here and hit Florida first, wreaked havoc here, and then followed us up to North Carolina.
Wow.
And I mean, right up through Marion. And we had to cancel the first show. So we were able to do the next show. And then Ernesto came right behind that. Here's a Debbie and Ernesto hurricanes back to back. And mm-hmm. and then obviously Helene, you know, this year. Mm-hmm. So we were just plagued. Helene was probably the one that taught us the most. We were in Cherokee, North Carolina with the Bellamy brothers doing a production up there. And when we were leaving, all the folks around Asheville were saying, man, be careful with that hurricane down there. And You know, the, I mean, these are folks that were up there. They had no idea that thing was coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, "We'll pray for you, man. Let us know you got home okay." And and man, with the way that thing turned around, it was like we were praying for them.
Yeah,
that's, you know, and just days later, you know. But so the weather really, it's just the business we're in. You know, we just have to take a chance, and we're have a good backup plan, I guess, and you know, just pray for the best. A lot of the venues we're in, we're lucky because they're covered concert areas, so it's a rain or shine, and you know, there's times we got to pull campers out with a tractor and do those things, but we try to keep everybody dry and happy.
Yeah. Well, you do a great job of that.
Absolutely.
People can find out all about your festivals at evansmediasource.com. I know Jekyll Island's coming up, you know, here in a few weeks. That's always been one of your biggest festivals, right?
Oh, man, it's one of the most fun ones, too. This year, we're celebrating the Country Gentlemen. Mm. It's a big reunion. We're bringing some of the members down, some of the living members, and we have Charlie Waller's wife is coming and his daughter, and they're bringing the guitar. Which I'm real excited about.
And so cool.
We're gonna have a big time down there, and so that we're looking forward to that. But that'll be our next one.
Charlie's the one that I was telling you about that time where he had his name in the fingerboard.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
one of his band key? Members was like, "Hey, what key are we in, Charlie?" And he looks and he said, "R."
Where's the capo at?
You'll have to tell that story at Jekyll Island.
Definitely.
That'd be something if we could get you to play it too.
Yeah.
I can't obligate that, but I'd sure like to see it.
Yeah,
I'd love to do it if they'd let me. But if not, I'm not going to have my feelings hurt. You know, I mean, I understand that.
Yeah.
What a lineup, though. I mean, if you guys get a chance to get to Jekyll Island, Georgia, I mean, gosh, what a line. I'm looking at your flyer now. It's Southern Legacy and Rhonda Vincent and the Rage and just so many great bands. And that Country Gentleman tribute ought to be just amazing to see in person. So.
Yeah. Last year we had a tribute to the Osborne Brothers, and that was such a touching moment. You know, they had Bobby there, and you know, 5 months later, Bobby was gone, and mm-hmm. we had tried to have that one time before, and Sonny passed the year before, and our second attempt, we had him there, and then the one before that was Doyle Lawson's last show with Quicksilver, and that so those have been very sentimental, the shows we have there. So
wow, that's awesome. Well, one last question I gotta ask you, Ernie. When you're at these festivals, do you ever get a chance to just kind of stop and breathe and just enjoy the music?
You know, there's always a time very late at night, and it's probably the only time you'll see me and Debbie together, and we'll walk, and she'll usually call me. You know, we've been running ragged all week, and she'll say, "Get down here right now." And she's like stuck at the gate all the time. And I'll come down to the, she goes, "Listen to this." And she'll just, there'll just be something going on at the stage. And she'll, there'll just be one of those moments that you'll see the two of us together. And we're just reflecting on, you know, what we did. And then 5 minutes later, we're talking about what we could do better the next time. But there's, those moments don't come as often as I'd like them to, but they do happen at every show. And it's usually late at night and last about half a set.
Well, please take time to enjoy what you do, because it does not go unappreciated. I've been wanting to talk with you for several weeks, and I just follow you on social media, and I love your passion for music and what you and Debbie do for so many people, to bring the great genre of bluegrass music to so many people. Man, we just encourage you to keep it up and anything we can do. And that's why I wanted to have you, you know, what little influence we may have, we want to let people know about evansmediasource.com and all the festivals you have. And if you get a chance, we love promoting live music and awesome. Live bluegrass. So
yes.
Well, we'd love to invite you down. And since Josh will be there, we do have a press room down there. You're more than welcome to come down and do a remote down there and do your podcast in our press room. And we'll get you all the stuff you need to do that. Come on, just have a good time and be our honored guest.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll I will definitely have to think about that, because that sounds like a definite fun time for sure. I've never been to that festival, and that's one I've always on my bucket list.
So, he's giving you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. That's right. Well, Ernie, we love you and Debbie so much. Thank you for all you do. And
absolutely.
On behalf of Josh and I, man, just keep it up, and you'll always have our support any way we can give it. So
yes, and thank you for doing what you do.
All right. Thanks for taking the time, buddy. You have a good night, okay? All right. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
All right, man. So good to talk. Man, what a nice guy. I mean, just...
Dude, he's the best.
He's a class act. And I can... Like I said, I've never really even met him in person, but you can just tell from his... correspondence on social media and just all the things that I've seen him involved in, he's just he's top notch.
Yeah.
So,
and he really has supported Southern Legacy from the first moment that we started, you know. And
yeah,
and he put us to work on lots of his festivals. Yeah. And we sure do appreciate that, you know.
Yeah, he's booked you guys for several things, and definitely has you on the bill for several things coming up next year. So
oh yeah
I know you guys appreciate that.
We appreciate him very much.
Absolutely. We appreciate you for listening to the Hometown Bluegrass Show, and thank you so much for being a faithful listener. If you get a chance, leave us a like and a review, and we want to hear from you on Hometown Bluegrass Show Facebook page.
Absolutely.
So
ask me questions, folks.
That's right. Tax his brain. He needs it.
That's right. Well, not too much.
That's right. We'll see y'all next time. Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Been a Bats Creative Audio production.